Hope Beyond Hell, The Righteous Purpose of God's Judgment, by Jerry Boschman. With D. Scott Reichard, the trilogy. Fear not, I have the keys of hell and of death. Jesus Christ. This book is published by Melista Press, Olmedo, Texas. Copyright 2007, 2010 revised, by Jerry Boschman. All rights reserved. This audio recording is read by George W. Saris. Recording copyright 2012 by Jerry Boschman. All rights reserved. The back cover of this book reads, Hope Beyond Hell makes a compelling biblical case affirming all God's judgments have a good and remedial purpose. Have you been tormented by the thought of dying? Do you know the anguish of thinking that you or a loved one might suffer in hell forever? You are not alone. As I read Hope Beyond Hell, I cried for joy. It assures us of a love that never gives up on us, no matter how miserably we fail. Charles Slagle, author of From the Father's Heart, evangelist. I love Hope Beyond Hell. It changed my life. After 60 years of being afraid of God, I was finally introduced to the true God of infinite love, who is bound neither by time nor death, the Savior of the world. Dr. Terry Schwartz, professor, Wheaton College. Jerry Boschman backs up his hope not with fancy theories, but by numerous scriptures and quotes from Bible scholars of many generations. Everyone needs to read and study this book. Richard W. Rundell, Ph.D. Hope Beyond Hell is one of the best books ever written, showing from Scripture that God's judgments are remedial, corrective, and temporary. Dr. Stephen Jones, M.Div., D.D., author, speaker. As a hospice chaplain for 14 years, I counseled hundreds of dying patients. In my experience, Christians believing in eternal punishment, especially in literal fire, were much more fearful of death than others. How can this be, since Christ came to free us from the fear of death? Hebrews 2:15. Hope Beyond Hell gives a biblical basis for total peace in the face of death. Reverend Boyd Purcell, M.A., M.Div., Ph.D., author, speaker, board-certified chaplain, and national board-certified counselor. What others are saying. The magnificent love and wisdom of God has not been written about with such clarity since the days of the patriarchs. I applaud Jerry Boschman for producing this important book. I have waited 25 years for it. Michael William Gross, D.D., Ph.D., Ph.D., Maryland. Everyone should read and study Hope Beyond Hell, a book of hope. Read it, understand it, and share its message with others. Harold Lovelace, M.T.H., D.D., author, Read and Search God's Plan, Alabama. With great spiritual discernment and a heart attuned to the transforming love of God, Jerry Boschman has written a book that will, if you permit it, inspire love, peace, joy, and hope, all the fruit of the Spirit, in your own heart. Thomas Talbot, Professor Emeritus, Willamette University, Oregon. Author of The Inescapable Love of God. I first learned, espoused, and taught the truths presented in this book over 40 years ago. Hope Beyond Hell encapsulates them better than any I have read. Bill Boylan, Ph.D., author, speaker, South Dakota. This is an excellent book. Many who attend the churches of our day would do well to read Hope Beyond Hell and to study and think for themselves. Bob Evely, M.Div., Asbury Theological Seminary, author of At the End of the Ages, Kentucky. Hope Beyond Hell answers the questions we have been afraid to ask about God's unfailing love and inexhaustible patience. Pastor Ivan A. Rogers, former Bible College president, author of Judas Iscariot, revisited, and restored. Iowa. As an instructor in church history, Hope Beyond Hell is one of the most balanced studies available on the remedial judgments of God and the great truth of the restoration of all things in Christ. The author has done it in a logical, common-sense way the average layman can understand. This is a book about the love of God. Reverend Terry Miller, M. Philosophy, former president, Bethesda Mennonite Institute of the Bible, former member of the House of Representatives, South Dakota. Hope Beyond Hell is a bold and impassioned plea for Christians of every stripe to consider the grand proposition that God's goodness, grace, and love reaches farther than most of us have ever dared to imagine. Jerry's comprehensive research of the biblical record and extra-biblical sources is powerfully, even overwhelmingly compelling. All who read this book with a spiritual mind and listen with spiritual ears will receive a deepened revelation of Christ in God. Dr. Bruce A. Gerlach, Professor, College of the Ozarks, Missouri. Hope Beyond Hell is a must-read for those who have lost their way because they couldn't reconcile a Bible declaring God is love while simultaneously teaching that the fate of the sinner is eternal damnation. Layer by layer, concept by concept, this book will loose the bonds of insanity that has plagued the church for centuries. Grady Brown, MTH, D-Lit, Director and Founder of Dayspring Bible Ministries, Texas. Hope Beyond Hell is one of the most concise books covering the subject of the righteous purpose of God's judgment. The reader will see that God will not rest until he will become all in all. 1 Corinthians 15:28. Dr. Marian Paul Kompik, Silesian University, Poland. Hope Beyond Hell is an excellent and well-researched book. I have no doubt that the Holy Spirit is using Jerry at this very important time in church history. Reverend Rod Walton, CJ, Anglican Independent Communion, founder of Bereavement Rescue, United Kingdom. Hope Beyond Hell explains the facts of God's limitless grace and boundless love. It truly offers hope beyond hell. Carry a case to all funerals. This is the book I've been waiting for. Pastor Robert Rutherford, speaker, teacher, songwriter, Georgia. For decades, I have questioned the need for and the justice of eternal punishment in light of God's being love. This is a well-researched book, providing fresh insights into the teachings of the church fathers and difficult texts like Matthew 25 and Luke 16. Even if one does not agree with his conclusion, one does feel reassured about the extent of God's love in Christ. H. Peter Kuiper, MDiv, Fuller Seminary, Doctor of Education, Nova University, California. Hope Beyond Hell by Jerry Boschman. Acknowledgements. I thank God for his unfailing, unending love for all humanity. I thank God for my wife, Denise. Thank you for the sacrifices you have made. I appreciate your love, courage, understanding, encouragement, patience, insights, hard work, and prayers. I am deeply thankful to my daughter, Renee. Thank you for your hard work in editing and formatting, and for your patience with me. It was such a joy and pleasure to do this project together with you. I thank my friends, John, Gary, Steve, Dave, and Rick. John and Gary for your understanding and encouragement. Steve for introducing me to this hope. Dave for spurring me on. And Rick as the herald. Thanks to Derek and Pat McLean for your work of love in cover design and editing. Thank you, Charles, for your partnership in printing and distribution, and for your summary on judgment. Thank you, Scott, for the trilogy, and for your commitment to labor with us in making this hope known. Thank you, Gary, for your testimony. You and Michelle inspire me. You have brought good news to the world. Dedication. I dedicate this book to our awesome and amazing God. Christ's body, that we would love God with all our hearts. All those afflicted, distressed, and terrorized by the idea of everlasting punishment. My family. Contents. A reference manual. This book, in a sense, is a reference manual containing a wealth of information that you can come back to repeatedly. It is written for both theologians and the rest of us. Chapter 1 is the longest and most technical. It identifies the key points on which belief in eternal punishment is based. It explains why they are in error. Initially, for a lighter read, it may be helpful to start at Chapter 2 and come back to Chapter 1 later. In order to provide the weight of scriptural evidence this study demands for theologians, I had to abbreviate many passages. This is not uncommon among Christian authors. Rick Warren writes, "Verse divisions and numbers were not included in the Bible until 1560 A.D. I have not always quoted the entire verse, but rather focused on the phrase that was appropriate. My model for this is Jesus, and how he and the apostles quoted the Old Testament. They often just quoted a phrase to make a point." I quote a number of writers who strengthen key points in my thesis, but who may not profess it. Throughout this book, I've included biblical references to verses that I feel support in some way the thoughts I'm trying to convey. I hope they will be helpful to you as you study the issue on your own. Quotations are from the New King James Version, unless otherwise noted. Forward. Love never fails. 1 Corinthians 13:8. Words of victory, power, hope, and encouragement. Oh, do we dare believe? Can it really be possible? For most of my life, I have embraced teachings built on well-defined arguments for why love sometimes fails. Not that it wanted to fail or lacked the power to succeed, it just didn't work out sometimes. As a matter of fact, it didn't work out most of the time. The simple but profound truth in this study has radically altered the way I now see the one who is love. Friends have warned me that truth can be found in the strangest places. The truth in this book found me on the road back from a medical outreach in the Aztec villages of Mexico. For the past few years, I had watched Jerry labor in what he calls his helps ministry for the kingdom, a dental ministry where he would labor for days well into the night, demonstrating practically the Father's love. As we went on different outreaches, I came to notice a pattern, one that to this day continues. Jerry would be the first one up and running, working late into the night, with a gentle, caring spirit throughout. On the day scheduled for return, when everyone else would be packing and waiting, he was finishing up one last patient. After watching him for several clinics, I had to know what made him tick. What was his secret? As the trips down would sometimes take 8 to 10 hours, we had plenty of time to talk. The study you hold in your hands reflects his view of God, and the life I saw lived in the fruit of that. It is a simple truth that can be summed up in three mighty words. Love never fails. I confess that when I first heard him expound on this, it hit me like a ton of bricks. So simple, and yet so radically different from that which I had heard all my life. A truth that will, as all truth does, set you free. When this truth caught up with me, I was marveling at God's never-ending love for Israel, as shared by the Apostle Paul in Romans, in spite of their persistence in unbelief. With two little words, Jerry turned my world upside down. Or should I say, right side up. Why Israel? And with that began a deeper study into the one who is love, and who is working out his victory and will not stop until he becomes all in all. Come, hear again the good news shared by the angel with some shepherds one night outside of Jerusalem. Good news of great joy to all people. Rekindle the fire as you hear again the one who is making all things new. Rejoice again as you ponder our Father who will not rest until all his children are safely home. Marvel at his wisdom in working out his master plan for the ages to see his will accomplished, that none should perish. Worship afresh the living God, who is the Savior of all men. Watch the Word unfold before you, as the mystery, hidden for ages, brings a peace that passes all understanding. Stand in amazement as you experience the One who is love, doing what He does best, transforming His creation into His likeness. Our God truly is an awesome God. And this study is another affirmation of His never-ending, never-failing love. My prayer for you as you journey through this was expressed so well by the Apostle Paul, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the Church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Ephesians 1:17-18, 3:16-19 RSV, 3:20-21 NIV. David Knuckles, 2006, Bread of Life Frontier Missions, Brownsville, Texas. The problem. Picture yourself as a missionary to the Muslim nation of Senegal, West Africa. The date, September 26, 2002. About a year prior, you befriended your neighbor Abdou Injai, a Muslim merchant. Only a few weeks ago, he graciously accepted your invitation to study the Bible with you. You are thrilled. Abdou is the first Muslim with whom you have begun sharing the good news. Today you prepare to explore another portion of God's Word with him, but something terrible has happened. You cannot believe what you are hearing and seeing on the news. The Jola, a Senegalese ferry, has capsized, killing almost 2,000 people. You remember that Abdou's wife, Astu, and his 14-year-old daughter, Fatou, are on that ship. You are in shock and cannot believe what you're seeing. A ship's underside sticking up out of the sea, with helicopters hovering overhead. You hurry next door. As you knock on the door, you hear deep groans and wailing. You slowly enter. Abdou is prostrate on the floor. He pleads before Yala, Wolo for Allah. Why, how could you let this happen? He goes into spasms of weeping, beating his hands against the floor. Feeling utterly helpless, you pray, God, help me comfort my friend. Abdou lifts his eyes, hardly able to recognize you for the tears. My wife and daughter have died a terrible death. Tell me I will see them again. Tell me they are safe in God's arms. Has your Jesus taken them to his heaven? You are lost for words. The silence is deafening. Answer me, Christian. Will I see them again? Are they in a better place? Tell me! You remain speechless. What can you say? Where is the good news when you need it most? Introduction. Are you at peace regarding the eternal destiny of your children, parents, brothers, sisters, and grandparents? Are you experiencing abundant joy in your personal salvation, while unsure if some of your dearest loved ones might suffer throughout eternity? How is that possible if you really love them as much as you love yourself. You see, we Christians have a problem, a very serious problem. The problem is our belief that hell is eternal, and that most of humanity will suffer endlessly. Deep inside, we know something is not right, but we suppress our questions and doubts because we think the Bible teaches it. What inner conflict rages within us? It is futile to find satisfying answers to the problems this issue raises. For example, how can an all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-loving God create billions of people, knowing most will be tormented in hell forever? Is the power of our free will to damn ourselves for eternity really absolute, exceeding the power of God's free will to save us, his very own property? All souls are mine, Ezekiel 18:4. If so, who suffers most in eternal damnation? Man, or God who loves man with an everlasting love? Jeremiah 31:3. How can Christ be considered greater than Adam if Adam has the power to condemn more people than Christ has the power to save? Please do not accept pat answers to these critical questions. Jesus commands us to judge for ourselves what is right, Luke 12:57. What is right about a punishment that never ends? How has this teaching affected the spread of the good news, the gospel? Think about it. An eternal hell maligns God's character before the world, contradicts his unending and unfailing love for all people, makes our worship stem more from fear than of true affection, denies his unlimited power to accomplish all his will, makes man's will greater than God's will, infinitely minimizes Christ's triumph over death and the evil one, denies that Christ fully accomplished his mission on earth, violates God's divine witness revealed in every conscience, negates the most glorious promises in the Bible, ignores the testimony of the early church, robs most of us of true and lasting peace and joy, affects what we become, like parent, like child, hinders world evangelism. Remember Abdu? Test all things. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Have you tested this teaching? For most of my life, the fear of hell stalked me, ever waiting for an opportune moment to raise its ugly head. Just the idea was like a sword slicing through me. It has been the greatest stumbling block to my faith. In fact, I almost gave up on Christianity because of it. Hell is a horrifying thought. Millions have been terrorized by it. Some have even killed their children to spare them such a fate. Remember Andrea Yates from Houston, who drowned her 5 children? If we would truly grasp the horror of it, we would go insane. Our every waking moment would have to be spent snatching whoever we can out of the fire, or nothing but constant guilt would torment us. Can you imagine the horror of suffering forever? What is 1 billion years? It is but a second in eternity. Who could possibly imagine such horror? What if you or one of your loved ones should go there? Does this thought affect how you feel about God? This theme has gripped my heart as it afflicts millions of people and dishonors God before the world. After years of wrestling with this topic, studying the Bible, and reading the works of others, I have found that hell, whatever it consists of, is a judgment given from the disciplinal hand of a loving Father. Though the symbolism surrounding it seems severe, it ultimately serves a good and remedial purpose. One of our greatest presidents agreed. In Abraham Lincoln, the Christian, William Johnson stated, "Abraham Lincoln did not, nor could not, believe in the endless punishment of anyone of the human race. He understood punishment for sin to be a Bible doctrine, that the punishment was parental in its object, aim, and design, and intended for the good of the offender. Hence, it must cease when justice is satisfied. All that was lost by the transgression of Adam was made good by the atonement." That is the message of this book. It is indeed good news for those tormented over the destiny of lost loved ones. Millions in our land can relate. Though the subject is hell, the book is really about God. What is he like? A popular Christian cliche some time ago was, "God is good all the time." Well, you will find solid support for it here. God is good, even in his judgments. They are not infinite and horrendously cruel, but just, righteous, and remedial. If you think that I am manipulating the scriptures in this book, then please leave it. But if not, be ready to fall in love with an amazing and wonderful God. Tradition. You invalidate the word of God for the sake of your tradition. Matthew 15:6, New American Standard. Matthew 15:3 and 9. If religious leaders of Christ's time could invalidate the word of God for the sake of tradition, is it not possible today? Is the church somehow immune? Only in 1995 did the Southern Baptist Convention finally submit an official apology regarding their stand on slavery. Yes, slavery used to be accepted in Christendom. Many debates took place for and against slavery, with each side quoting the Bible. However, when one considers that the letter kills and the spirit gives life, and our beliefs must harmonize with the spirit and tenor of the Bible as a whole, the argument against slavery takes on new force. The same applies with the case against an eternal hell. Traditions endure for generations, are highly revered, and are extremely difficult to change. There are no harder forms of error to confront and correct. When Paul and Stephen declared to their fellow Israelites that God's mercy extended to the Gentiles, they were stoned. Do we hold to any traditions for which Christ might rebuke us for? If we refuse to acknowledge any inconsistencies in our beliefs, how will we ever know? This book examines the Augustinian tradition of everlasting punishment, so-called because it stems principally from the theology of Augustine, who is said to be the father of the Western Church. This tradition assumes that the vast majority of the human race will never be saved. This is based on passages such as, "Narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." See number 9, Appendix 5. However, is this what Christ meant by these words? This book presents abundant scriptural evidence why this could not be what Christ and the apostles taught. Most Christians have not fully thought through the serious implications of this tradition. In essence, it teaches that an all-powerful and all-loving God has created a world knowing full well that the majority of his creation would spend eternity in suffering. How can this be? Although this is what tradition assumes, most Christians in their heart of hearts do not embrace it. In Hell Under Fire, Daniel Block, professor of systematic theology at Westminster Theological Seminary, wrote, "The traditional doctrine of hell now bears the marks of odium theologium. Its defenders are seemingly few." Though its defenders may be few, the doctrine itself continues to terrorize millions. The tradition that an all-knowing, all-loving, and all-powerful God would create a world where the majority of his human creatures are destined to spend eternity in suffering is incomprehensible. What greater horror has the world ever known? Implications. These people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men. Isaiah 29:13. What is this passage saying? It is warning us about a fear toward God taught by the commandment of men. Could Augustine's teaching on hell be just such a commandment? Certainly, it removes our hearts far from God. Can we honestly say our affection toward God has not been influenced by this horrid doctrine? Has the thought that God might punish you or your loved ones forever in hell ever hindered your love toward him? This tradition seriously affects our understanding of God, including our whole outlook on life and how we relate to people. Do we not reflect, at least to a degree, the character of the God we worship? If we think seriously about the implications of this teaching, it will lead to certain undeniable conclusions, as mentioned earlier. Confronting our tradition. A tradition begins when someone's interpretation, in this case Augustine's, is accepted by others and passed down through the generations. How many Hindus, Buddhists, Muslims, and Christians hold to beliefs solely because they have been passed down to them? Should we not critically evaluate for ourselves our traditions? Test all things, hold fast what is good, 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Why do you not judge for yourselves what is right? Luke 12:57. Christ strongly warns us about our traditions. Matthew 15:3, 6, and 9. Perhaps you have struggled with hell as I have. Maybe you have longed that somehow, in this case, tradition is wrong. If so, read on. But before starting, let us consider one important point. The Scriptures. The Bible has been translated from ancient tongues and cultures by men who carry their own ideas into their translations. They cannot help reading the ancient manuscripts through the lens of their personal theology. They are only human. Since most of our translators have held the doctrine of eternal torment, they unwittingly filtered all they translated from that mindset. That is why we must constantly be on our guard, like the Bereans, Acts 17:11. Comparing Scripture with Scripture based on the original Greek and Hebrew words. Ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures. Matthew 22:29, King James Version. Unless God gives us ears to hear, the Bible will remain a mystery. Proverbs 20:12, Luke 8:8. For unless He opens our minds and hearts, we toil in vain. For our sufficiency is from God and not of the letter. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. 2 Corinthians 3:5 and 6. The Ku Klux Klan is known to have based its evil actions on the letter of Scripture. But did the Klan know its spirit? Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. To help you rightly divide the word of truth, I submit to you the following five principles of interpretation for your consideration. Pray for understanding. Trust Scripture to interpret Scripture, not man. Base your beliefs on the total forest of Scripture, not a few trees. Put aside what your spirit reveals is not right or good until the Lord resolves the issue in your heart. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, Luke 12:57. Remember that the ancient Eastern custom was to use language in the most vivid possible way. Appendix 5, number 18. Are you not therefore mistaken, because you do not know the Scriptures nor the power of God? Mark 12:24. I encourage you to meditate on the Scriptures presented in this study, for they focus strongly on God's power. Follow the example of the Bereans, who were more noble than the rest, for they did not just take someone's word for it, but searched it out for themselves. Acts 17:11. You may find the Word Study Concordance by George Wigram and Ralph Winter helpful, as it lists words according to Greek usage, not English. You do not need to know Greek to use it. Winter explained, the Word Study Concordance traces not English, but Greek words. You can find listed every passage where a given Greek word occurs, regardless of how many different ways it may be translated into English. Even the best lexicons are basically some scholars' reflections on the data drawn from a concordance. Once you have read these Bible passages yourself, you have acquired something no dictionary can easily give you, a certain instinctive feel for the word. You have become conditioned by the actual use of the word, which is the most normal and reliable way to learn any word in any language, not to equate it to some other word. Students often try to short-circuit this process and go directly to a lexicon. Since this book has no index, we invite you to download the book free from our website. Use the Find feature on your computer to look up words, topics, and scriptures. With a humble spirit and prayerful attitude, let us look intently into God's written revelation, seeking to understand His character and purpose in His judgments. We will start by critically examining the key points, pillars, on which belief in everlasting punishment is based.